As Americans, we love to celebrate Independence Day. I was in Sam's and Walmart yesterday, and they were stocking all the shelves with extra ribs and hamburgers and hot dogs and anything that you could grill out. In fact, I went to a cookout yesterday, going to one today and one tomorrow. So I like to celebrate. And as Americans, we tend to flaunt our freedom. We like to flaunt it before the whole world on Independence Day. We're a big nation. And we like to show off our freedom in a big way. We like fireworks. We like parades. And it's one of the summer holidays where most places are closed. And as a nation, we really do celebrate together. And I think it's interesting how we crave independence, how we struggle and fight for freedom. And I believe it's something that's in our makeup, something about how we work. And even as a small child, we want to be in control. It even starts at about 2 years old. Around 2 years old, the word no becomes prominent in our simple vocabulary. And not too long after that, there are shouts of mine, it's mine. And we start making choices to do things our way and to do our best to make others go along with what we want. And then a few years later, we start claiming it's not fair. And ultimately, we complain and we pout when we don't get our way. And then as we get into our teens, it really doesn't get much better. We want to be free of the family obligations. We want to go out with our friends. We don't want to have a curfew. We don't want to be quizzed about where we're going and what we're doing. And when Paul writes this letter to the Galatians, he's writing to a people who are in their teens in their faith. They're just teenagers in the family of God. They think they know everything, and they just want to be left alone to do things their way. And the thing about being a teen is that teens are far more influenced and controlled than they're willing to admit. Other teens around them control their behavior much more than they really want to let people think. And just like any group of young people, there are leaders and followers in Galatia when Paul writes this. And the leaders are making the rules. And Paul is addressing some of the instructions that some of the men had come to Galatia and claimed to have authority to teach the church as the right way to approach God. And Paul is writing to the Galatians to combat a teaching that the church in Galatia needs to keep the old rules, the law of Moses. And he's telling them that they have a freedom because they have accepted Christ. They have a freedom from the law of Moses, individually and especially because they are now a nation, that they are a Christian nation. And he's telling them that they would never be able to keep the law. And what Paul's saying is we have a freedom to live in a new way, a freedom to love one another, a freedom to live by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And I believe we tend to like Thomas Jefferson's words when he talks about each individual's inalienable right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That word, inalienable, it refers to a set of rights that are fundamental. They're not awarded by any human power, and they can never be surrendered. They come from outside of anything we can do or anything we can say. And we exercise our freedom in countless ways each day as we make our own personal decisions about how we ought to live. And even our teenage children, they have more decisions, personal decisions to make than most of the adults in the rest of the world. But I would suspect that they, our children, would disagree, feeling that as parents and as teachers that we oppress them. A lot of people about 240 years ago risked everything they had to break away from the law of England. And once they achieved that successful break, it was very important for them to not fall back into that position of having old relationships and the old rules that they were under at that time. We hate to admit it, but we do like rules. Even independent young people establish rules for how they will live on their own. When young men and young women head off to college, they believe they're headed to a freedom from the oppression of mom and dad. They believe they can do whatever they want, whenever they want. However, if they want to pass their classes, it's not long before they learn that they have to conform to a new set of rules. They have to decide if they want to pass. They have to put time in studying. They have to choose a reasonable hour to get rest. And many times they have to change their friends. And as students experience this taste of freedom, they realize that freedom comes at a cost. They have to start setting their own limitations. It's a part of growing up, a part of maturing. And what Paul is writing about to the Galatians is warning them about heading back to home, heading back to mom and dad and the house rules. And I'm sure you moms and dads know what I mean about house rules. It's my house, I make the rules, and you're going to live by the rules. And I've seen young people that think that's a pretty good idea, and they never move out. And they never fully learn how to live in the world. And what Paul is telling the Galatians is they're not bound by those house rules anymore. And he's encouraging them to accept the freedom that they have in Jesus Christ. As a new nation, the people had a lot of choices that they could have made. And some of those choices, not then in Paul's day and our day, are less desirable than others. And there are people today and all the time that are trying to change this nation in a way to restrict and to control everything. They say people can live any way they want to, except the Christians. They manipulate the founding fathers' words and intentions and totally ignore our backgrounds, our beliefs, in order to control people and control the rules of the day and to take advantage of us. Our founding fathers guaranteed us the freedom to gather together, the freedom to love one another, the freedom to serve each other, and the freedom to speak out for the betterment of our homes, our communities, our churches, and yes, even our government. And our forefathers explain that with this freedom also comes a responsibility. And as I think about it, as I think about Independence Day, I think sometimes that it's strange that we call this Independence Day. We celebrate the breaking away from that formal relationship that we had with England, but in doing that, it forced the people of the day to become even more dependent on each other. They were forced to work together in common defense of what they saw was right and wrong. They were not really independent at all, and neither are we. And as young adults, we wanted to be independent of our parents. But in reality, all we did was move from one dependence to another, to the dependence on our friends. We broke away from what we considered a formal controlling relationship of our parents and formed a new relationship with supposedly less rules. You know, our forefathers risked everything when they declared independence. They put their money, they put their name and their reputation on the line. They were not Americans only in name. Their declaration of independence from the oppressions was just a strong declaration of the dependence that each person put on each other and that the colonies put on themselves. Truly independent living, living with freedom, is only possible when we recognize that we can never be independent. We always have to depend on God. Every person in this world, whether they're atheist, agnostic, Christian, whatever they are, they're dependent on God. Man would not exist if he were not created by God. This place we live in would not support life except by the design of God. No matter how independent we think we are, it's not really true. We depend on our parents. They give us life. We depend on this country, most of us by birth, not by choice. You know, someone else paid the cost for the freedoms we have in this country. We're all dependent on those who came before us. I think it's good that we celebrate our freedom on the 4th of July. But we need to remember the gifts that have been given to us. We do need to attend picnics, parades, cookouts, celebrate the freedoms that we enjoy every day. But we need to remember the freedoms that Paul describes to the Galatians, our freedom in Jesus Christ. How could we celebrate freedom from a law we can never keep? According to the scriptures, the scripture we read today, we celebrate by allowing the Spirit to help us with our sinful nature. And we do that when we acknowledge our dependence and we start living sacrificial lives. If you have not reached Independence Day, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and your responsibilities to live as a child of God, then you're still under the law. We have the opportunity to accept the freedom that Jesus Christ gave us when he went to the cross. And we can choose to acknowledge our dependence on him and gain the assurance that God loves us more than we can ever imagine. I ask you this. Are you independent and making your own way, or are you dependent on Jesus Christ? He offers you the inalienable right of joy and peace and eternal life. This morning we will be approaching the Lord's table for Holy Communion. And there's one thing you need to realize when you come to that table. You can't bring anything to God. You can't bring anything of value to him. It's his love and mercy that he offers for you that is of value. There is one thing, however, that God is looking for. He does want you to exercise your independence and choose to depend on him. This morning when we come to the table, I hope you will consciously realize that you are making a sacrificial offering of yourself to God. And when you approach the meal, you're admitting that you are dependent on God for everything. And that, my friends, will set you free.